I don't know if you've seen this movie, The War Room. Great, great movie. It came out a couple of years ago. Audrey and I went to see it, and there's this little old lady here named Clara. You remember her? Oh, she had the prayer room all fixed up, and it was, some points of it were comical, but the main point was true, that the way that you change lives is through prayer. In fact, you could say prayer is the oxygen which we need to live our lives. So I want to look at prayer tonight. I like what Foster said in the Celebration of Disciplines. All of the spiritual disciplines of prayer is most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Now listen to this. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. When you think about it, prayer really is change, because when you pray, you're asking God to change something, whether a circumstance or a situation in your life, or you're asking God, or should be asking God, to change something in you. So the fact is, prayer is about change, and Foster is right. Now let me give you a definition, if I can, of prayer. Prayer is the means by which we communicate with God, both in terms of speaking to him and listening to his voice for the purpose of inward change. Now listen, sometimes we look at a circumstance, we look in a situation, and we ask God to change it. And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. In those moments when God does not change the circumstance, guess what he's trying to do? He's trying to change you. Because sometimes you have to come along and say, okay, God is not changing the circumstance, so then why is he not doing this? There must be a reason, and the reason would be that God is trying to change you so that you can rise to the occasion of the circumstance. And hence, we get to the verse which I want to look at tonight. first of all, Jesus says, go to God in private. Now notice what the Lord says. Now this comes on the heels of not praying out in the open and to be seen by men. He warns against that. But he says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. So the word prayer here, do you know what the word prayer is in the Greek? This is what it means. Asking God, talking to God. That's it. You know, some people get this idea that prayer is this complicated thing. You know what it is? Prayer is simply just talking to God. Amen. And you can do, now I'm not, you know, when you're driving the car, you can pray. Did you know that? Don't shut your eyes and bow your head, but that could get you into trouble. But you can talk to God. It doesn't matter if your eyes are open or if they're closed or if you're kneeling or if you're laying out on the floor. Prayer is at its essence talking to God. That's all it is. And somehow we come along and we like to gunk it up to make it something that it's not. In essence, it's almost like you just carrying on a conversation with one of your friends. Except in this case, you're carrying a conversation on with the creator of the universe. And the sustainer of our lives. So that's what prayer is. He said, go into your room. I like what Frantz says in his commentary. The disciple is to pray in the storeroom. This was an inner room, secluded, probably with windows, and possibly the only lockable door in the house. It thus is the proverbial secret place. Now, what we learn from archaeology, biblical archaeology, is this. This was the room that they're talking about. It had a door on it. And when Jesus said, go in your room, everybody within the sound of his voice knew what he was talking about. Do you know what was in this room? And why it was the only room that was locked? I'll tell you what was in there. They had olives, figs, bread, anything that you could think of that would be food or survival. So when Jesus said, go into your room, he would, people instinctively knew that now they would go in that room and they would sit among all of this bounty. And they would begin to pray with the view of having everything they could possibly need to survive. So when Jesus says, go into your room, he wants us to be mindful of not only the secrecy of prayer, but the supply of prayer. So in other words, when you go to God in quiet, in your own space, in your own place that you have decided to go, I want this image to burn within you. This image that you are surrounded by a God who can supply every possible thing that you could think or ask. So when he says, go into there, I know the people were probably listening to this and go, oh yeah, I know about that room of olives. And of course, you know, being a Baptist, I'd want to eat a lot when I'm in there. But this is a beautiful image of what it means and why that door would have been locked, because it carried all of your provisions. You wouldn't leave that door open. Now, we might be able to do some of that here in Tolono. People go to bed with their doors unlocked. How many of you do that? I know a lot of people do. I don't, but but you would lock that door. And when Jesus said, go in there, I think what he had on his mind was, when you go in that room and you know it's well stocked, remember, God can supply your needs. He also encourages here the quiet place. Now, we move on to the reward. That is the place. And I want to encourage you, when you pray, to find that place and maybe even surround that place with things that will remind you of God's supply and that God can meet all of your needs and you can do anything through him. And this is all predicated on the understanding that we are praying simplicity to God, that it's just a simple prayer. It's simply talking. Now notice what Jesus says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Father, pater in the Greek, it not only refers to God's supernatural authority, but listen to this, it also reveals his care and love. You could say it this way, you can go to your daddy, your father, who cares for you. You want a good image of this? Because I think this is the essence of the word. How much does God care for you? Parental authority, yes. Love and concern, yes. So be mindful of this when you are praying. And I think sometimes we get this idea that God is so transcendent and so far away that we cannot possibly reach him. Why would God and his infinite understanding of the world and have to look out at world events, why would this transcendent God even care to listen to me? But Jesus says it, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word see there, listen to this. This is the Lord saying this. This isn't Pastor Mike. This isn't Pastor Ken. This isn't your pastor at your church. This is what Jesus says. And your Father who sees. Literally in the Greek, it means turning his eyes and attention to you. Wait a minute. The God of the universe that has to oversee the construction of his plan, which there is a plan, and God will bring it to completion. The God who has to worry about governments and powers and rulers and all of these things. Do you mean that God, when I pray to him, that God turns his attention and focus to me? I say yes. You say, well, how can God possibly do that? That's why he's God. That's why he's God. So when you are in the depths of your darkness, let's get into that in just a second. Know this, that when you are talking to God, if God was looking here, he turns and he looks at you. Do you know what that does when you start thinking about it that way? That personalizes God. It shows that this is a true image, that this is how this great God loves me. In the midst of my struggle, my hardships, my trials, this God is somebody who loves me, and my response should be that I love him. But this God sees in secret. The Greek word secret is kryptos, which means able to pierce the darkness. Whether that's a physical darkness or a spiritual darkness. You ever have those moments in life when it is so dark in your soul? It is laboring darkness. When it seems like nobody cares, nobody will listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. God sees that place. You think God cares about you when things are all good? No, God cares about you in the depths of the darkness. Jesus said secret place. He knew what that referred to. When I was in the Army, we used to have, by the way, night vision goggles. By the way, this is complete darkness. If you were to take those goggles off, it's this. It's completely black. You couldn't see anything. And this is a great image of us as soldiers fighting for the kingdom in the darkness. God is able to look at the darkness of our night physically, spiritually, and is able to see us. But he knows that we're there, even though maybe other people can't see it or we don't allow to reveal it to people. God is looking in at our darkness. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are tonight. And I know sometimes you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and you don't see anything. You don't see anything. God's not working. Where are you? God, do you not hear me? Trust me, God sees your darkness. Good news is Jesus didn't stop there. You see what that is here? Look. And your father who sees in darkness will walk away. He will reward you. Interesting word, reward. It can mean recompense, but listen to this. It can mean to answer. People, God answers prayer. There ain't no doubt about that. God answers prayer. Sometimes God answers prayer by not answering it. And as we get into the verses, I'm getting ready to show you where the Spirit makes intercession for us. The reality is sometimes we pray amiss and God chooses not to answer the prayer because the thing that we want may not be something that is beneficial to us. But I can always, I can tell you this through 28 years of pastoral ministry, I can say this with all sincerity. When you pray, God listens and you will get an answer. How many of you have been the benefactors of somebody else's prayer for you? And you weren't even praying. I've come across people, you know, you ever just been in a Walmart parking lot or some parking lot, you see something going on and you just instinctively pray for that person. That happened to me at a Walmart, and I'm not saying Walmart spiritual, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. This was, I want to say, a week and a half ago, and I won't tell you where the Walmart was, but I will tell you it wasn't this Walmart. There was a woman that touched me. There was a woman that was being arrested. And the woman looked like she was down and out. And I remember walking by, and I remember the policeman, he was on the radio. And it's one of those moments where you go, I think I would be interfering here if I were to walk over. And I just felt like that was it. There was people around. But I remember these words from that woman to the police officer. I'm not a bad person. And when I looked on the bench, there wasn't cigarettes, there wasn't booze. Do you know what was on the bench? Food. Wow. I went out to my car. I didn't feel like I could respond then, but I went out to my car and I grabbed my steering wheel and I prayed for that woman. I prayed that she would find Jesus, that the charges would not be as big as they could be, and that God would deliver her from whatever is holding her. And you know what? Right there in that parking lot at Walmart, God was listening. Pray to him. He will reward you. God will answer your prayers. And sometimes you need to ask, seek, and knock. I don't usually break text up like this, but Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture. For you do not know what you ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Most of you know that. But I want to talk about our weakness here in these verses. The weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for as we should. I like what Douglas Moo says. Well, we'll get to Moo in a minute, but this is kind of an image of how the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. It's like a child learning to ride a bike and the Father comes along and steadies. That's kind of what the Holy Spirit does when we pray. He helps us to be able to make it through. And in our weakness, athania, it means not being able to comprehend something. So when he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, there is an acknowledgement. There is an acknowledgement that we are weak. How many of you think that you are weak tonight? Yeah, we're all sinful. We all fall short of the glory of God, so we're weak. And there's times when we really don't know how to pray to him. Now to what Douglas Moo says. What Paul apparently has in mind is the inability to discern clearly God's will in many things for which we pray. And again, sometimes when we pray amiss. We don't know how to pray because of our weakness. because we don't always fully understand the will of God. I think we do know the will of God many times in our lives. Many of us in here know it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to cheat. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. I bet you if you went home, you could roll through 20 things without blinking an eye, things that you know definitely are the will of God. But then there's sometimes in life when we simply don't know. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Just want to remind us tonight that none of us have arrived. All of us, at times, from the highest Christian to the lowest person you could think of, all of us need God's help. Amen. And I would say those that are spiritual giants, those are the ones that need the most help. Because you can be assured that wherever God is doing a great work in somebody, Satan is right behind or right around, ready to pounce. Now, what about the role? What about the role of the Holy Spirit? For we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. What does that mean? He intercedes for us. Do you remember when I defined prayer as talking to God? The Holy Spirit talks for you. Keeping it simple, that's what it means. It means that the Holy Spirit speaks on your behalf. Give you another picture. You ever have a person, a friend, somebody close to you, you say, "Would you pray for me?" And that person gets down. Isn't that always a great feeling to have somebody pray for you? I mean, don't you feel special and important when that person prays for you? Or at minimum, you just feel good that you're not bearing the burden alone. Well, what do you think the Holy Spirit's doing for you? Is prayer always a verb? Is it? Peace. Be still. Sometimes the best prayer is when you don't pray and you simply allow the Holy Spirit to fill in the blanks. I am convinced, and I want to challenge you to this. Sometime in the next few days, this is always challenging for me. It's always difficult for me too. Go to a quiet place. I like the front row because there's nobody here. So I can come in and I can sit in the front row. And when I pray, one of the most difficult things for me to do, and I don't mind admitting this because we all struggle with this, I think, is to sit there and be quiet and listen. And I understand you need people to pray for you. I understand people need to, it says, bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, and that we rally around each other. I get that. But I think sometimes we need to remember that prayer is not always a verb. Sometimes you hear God when you're quiet. Sometimes I've heard God very loudly when I've been quiet. It's usually when I am crying out to Him that I can't hear what He's saying to me. So when you get to that place, why don't you just sit there and say, "Holy Spirit, speak to God and I'll be quiet. You know what I need more than I do," which is true. The Holy Spirit searches the hearts and He knows what we need. You shouldn't be praying that. No, that's not the... Okay, God, I got this. And then He'll work on it for us. With groanings, Paul writes, and by the way, there's three groanings here. There's the creation groaning, us groaning, and the Holy Spirit groaning, if you read the verses before that. With groanings, sighs that cannot, that's what this Greek word means. It means sighs that cannot be understood by human ears. This is a deaf girl communicating to a girl that understands sign language. Now, if I'm sitting in a cafe, I have no idea what they're talking about. They could be saying, you see that crazy Baptist minister over there with this? I mean, they could be saying anything, right? She is communicating to her, and she is communicating back. She knows the language that she's speaking, even though I am quite removed from the situation. I don't understand what they're talking about, but you know what? They understand. And then the Holy Spirit begins to give me understanding on my end when God speaks to the Holy Spirit and says, you see, Mike, he's going that direction, pull him back and go this way. That's what the intercession is. It's when we are praying off that God and the Holy Spirit communicate and say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pull him back in this direction. Or I want you to tell that knucklehead down there, God wouldn't really say that, but maybe in my case he might make an exception. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit who dwells in every believer is in constant communication with the Father. And all of it is for the purpose of helping us understand our lives. Let me put it this way. I believe this. I bet you, and I'm just throwing a number, 80% of all the problems that we have in our lives could be solved by simply going to the Father in prayer. But what we like to do is we like to take an opinion poll. Right? What do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? What do you, and there's nothing wrong with seeking godly counsel, but at least give God the opportunity to help you first. And we're all of us guilty of it, right? Every one of us. What do you think I should? Just go to God. And then when you're going to God saying, God, I don't understand the situation, I'm going to be quiet, and I'm just going to listen to you. We've talked about a lot tonight, so in closing, I would just like to say this. Pray. For my congregation, find a place, and for all of us, I guess, but find a place where you are alone with God. Talk to Him. And you know, God's been in the listening business since the creation of the world. He's pretty good at it. Don't use God as a last resort. Use Him as the first resort. And I'm not saying don't press people to pray for you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is go to Him first, and then sometimes just be still and know that He is God. You want to do that? Let's do that. Let's start getting alone with Him, spending time with Him. Stop the opinion polls and just ask God to speak to you.